Biblically-centered kids.
Hello and happy Wednesday, everybody. Welcome to another great day of the Biblically Centered Kids podcast. Today is June 26th, 2024, if you can believe that. And my name is Mr. Johnny, and we're going to have just a little bit of fun on today's episode. Before we get too far into this, do any of you kiddos out there enjoy a nice serving of chocolate pudding? Well, today is your lucky day, because today is actually National Chocolate Pudding Day. They have holiday for everything these days. But this is the lunch table ultimate snack. If you've looked in your lunch bag at lunch and saw a snack pack, Swiss Miss, or Jell-O brand chocolate pudding, you knew that you had the top dollar item for trade. The lunch table and all of its contents were your domain. And you can trade it for anything you want. Not that you would ever want to, though, of course. But we're pleased to tell you that June 26th is National Chocolate Pudding Day, when adults and kids alike can heap spoonful after spoonful of the stuff with abandon. If it's the pudding's creaminess and smooth texture that makes you melt, you may shudder at its origins as a sometimes savory, cakey dessert. In the 17th century, pudding was served after dinner and included everything from grains to raw mutton fat. Yeah! Ugh. Definitely not the spoonable suaveness we know and love today. And while the origin of National Chocolate Pudding Day is a little bit obscure, we can at least take comfort in knowing it arose after creamy pudding was invented in the mid-1800s. And of course, we take our chocolate pudding without raw kidney fat. Ugh, thank you. So how do you like your pudding? Some people like it warm when it's fresh made at home, and some people like it cold. Either way, it's served best with a little whipped cream on top. Miss Danica and I have some, well, how do I put this? Lively debate about our chocolate pudding preferences. She's in the warm camp and likes a bowl of pudding that's fresh off the stove. Where me, I like it to have been in the fridge for a little bit because I like it when it's cool. And I mean, come on, when it's cool, it doesn't melt the whipped cream when you put it on top. But anyways, happy Chocolate Pudding Day. Do you remember what virtue we're learning about this week? That's right. We've been talking about sharing the gospel. And this week's virtue says, we zealously share the gospel with others, living our lives in a manner that points to God. Have you ever had something happen to you that made you so excited that you just had to tell someone about it? And of course, I know the answer to that question, because of course you have. Whether it was a fun vacation you went on, a fun sporting event you went to, or even something small like a funny joke you heard, or if you're like my kids, when you see a bunny in the backyard, you just have to tell somebody. And that's a natural response whenever we experience something that was exciting or meaningful. We just have to tell someone about it. It usually isn't something you have to muster up the courage to do. If it's meaningful and impactful to you, it's a natural response to share it. So our hope with this virtue of sharing the gospel is that we understand truly just how much Jesus did for us on the cross. He doesn't make us better people, he makes us new creations. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things are completely gone, and behold, all things have become new. Isn't that amazing? If you have committed your life to Christ, you are a new creation. And that's some news worth sharing. So our encouragement to you here at Biblically Centered is that you pray and ask God for opportunities to share your faith in Jesus with the people in your life. God will open the doors for the conversation because we want to share the Jesus that has changed our lives with all those around us. We have a few resources and some curriculums available on biblicallycentered.com to help you in your faith sharing journey. And if you have any questions or stories of sharing your faith that you want to share with us, please have your parents email us at info@biblicallycentered.com and we would love to hear from you. All right, we have a little bit of time left in this episode, so do you want to play a game?
Yeah!
All right, let's do a quick game. We've played the game of opposites before, but today's going to be a little silly. I have some silly opposites that's going to have to make your brain think a little bit. So what I'm going to do is say a word, and then I'll give you a few seconds for you to think about what the opposite would be. And these are a little quirky, okay? So let's get started. All right. Okay, the first word is radioactive. So if something is radioactive, what would the opposite be? It would be radio lazy. Get it? Not radioactive, but radio lazy. Okay, so you see how this kind of works? They're kind of quirky, kind of funny opposites. All right, next one. Wardrobe. What would be the opposite? Well, if you're not at war, you're at peace. So it would be a peace drobe. Okay, what about a smoothie? What's the opposite of a smoothie? A roughie. And I wouldn't want to know what they blend up in a roughie. I'm just going to stick with the smoothie. All right, what about breakfast? Well, if we aren't breakfast, we are breck slow. You know, breakfast, breck slow. How about ketchup? Well, it isn't ketchup, it's catch down. Do any of you like dumplings? What would be the opposite of a dumpling? A smartpling. Okay, this next one's an easy one. What's the opposite of a hot dog? Yeah, that's easy. Obviously, it would be a cold dog. Do y'all know the one-eyed giant named Cyclops? What would be the opposite of Cyclops? A walk-clops. Okay, this one's a little bit of a stretch. You know, Cyclops, like a bicycle. So if he's not on a bicycle, he's walking. So instead of Cyclops, he's walk-clops. Does that make sense?
Sure.
All right, moving on. What about the opposite of parking? Well, instead of parking, it would be a park queen. What's the opposite of a firework? A waterwork. All right, last one. What's the opposite of a mango? Do you think of that one? Well, mango is spelled M-A-N-G-O, so it's mango, so it would be a wool mango or a wool mango. All right, that's probably a good place to stop. This was a little bit of fun, right? So thank you guys for playing along. And like always, we thank you so much for listening and playing along today. Thank you so much for listening to the episodes this week. And I really do hope you enjoyed this episode today. Tomorrow, we're going to be diving into our New Testament story for the week, so be sure to listen. Until next time.